We're learning Nefesh HaChaim. We did last week, we started the class, and we saw the first 2.5 chapters. Now, the first chapter starts off with an introduction. It asks the question, what does the Torah mean when it says that man was created by Tzelem Elokim? And he clarifies that it means that we are similar to Hashem in a certain aspect. Obviously, we're not completely similar to Him, and it's certainly not the physical resemblance, because Hashem doesn't have a physical resemblance. He doesn't have any physical being at all. He's totally spiritual. So we resemble Him in some way. The next point we made was, what's interesting is that when it describes man as being Tzelem Elokim, it uses the name Elokim, and not any of the other names of Hashem, like Shakai, or Tzvakot, or Kael, or Havaya. It uses specifically the name Elokim. Elokim means Balakweches Kulom. He is master of all forces. So therefore, if we are Tzelem Elokim, we are in the image of that aspect of Hashem which is master of all forces. Then we explained, what does it mean, He's master of all forces? And what we said was that since the world was created as something from nothing, Yesh Miayin, therefore, it can only exist as long as Hashem wills it to exist. He wills it into existence. It's not like a regular builder who builds a house and uses building materials which already exist. He takes wood that already exists. He takes bricks that already exist and he builds a house. Hashem creates the wood. He creates the bricks. He creates everything. Something from nothing. Something which comes from nothing can only exist as long as it's being created. It needs to be created constantly every second. And the analogy we gave to that is a thought. And if you manufacture thought in your mind, let's say you imagine a beautiful flower, so you have an image of a flower which you created in your mind, and you thought of a flower and you had a picture of a flower in your mind. So as long as you're focusing on it, the picture is there. The minute you're distracted, the picture disappears. It just stops existing. It's maybe a memory, but it doesn't exist anymore. So therefore, that's the idea, that something that comes from nothing has to be continuously perpetuated, which is what we say. And he brought verses that Hashem creates the world every single moment. Every single moment Hashem creates the entire world. It needs His generation. And we also said that makes sense if you understand that all matter comes from energy. Energy needs a source of energy. There has to be a source of energy. Energy doesn't just... You can't just put petrol in your tank, and then drive your car for the next 50 years. It doesn't work like that. Right? There's no such thing as energy that just goes on forever. So therefore, Hashem is the energy of the world. Hashem is the source, the life force, source of the world. The sun, the sunlight, and everything, all the different elements of energy that keep the world going. He is the source of all energy. So now, if we are in the image of Hashem, that means we are also a source of power. Next step, if we're in the image of Hashem, so then we are also, the force of the world is in our hands. And it's not just this world, the material world, it's all of the worlds, upper worlds, highest worlds, all of the worlds.
So you're talking about Jews or everybody?
We're talking about the Jewish people. We'll see in a minute exactly how that works. But what it means, Hashem has given the life of the worlds into our hands, the Jewish people's hands. We are responsible for the flourishing and prosperity of the world, or chas v'shalom, the fall of the world, the crumbling of the world, the disintegration of the world. All of that also depends on us. And that's what he started saying in the beginning of chapter 3. I'm going to start chapter 3 from the beginning, and then we're going to go on. So Perek Gimel, chapter 3, came b'dimyon zeh, kaviyochol. Similarly, in the way we said that Hashem is master of all forces, similarly, kaviyochol, so to speak, because it's not totally the same, it's not totally literal, Borohu is Borchis Adam, Hashem created man, b'shlitoi, al ribe ribavon koichos v'ilomus ein mispar, and He gave him rulership over tens of thousands of forces. Man rules tens of thousands of forces. In other words, millions, hundreds of millions of forces. Olamos and worlds, ein mispar, without number. Mesorim b'yod, He's handed it over to man, to the Jewish people. Shehu amedabe umhanig oisam, that man should be the one who leads it and directs and he navigates the world. Apikol pratet nois nois masov, according to all of the details of his movements, the diburov, his words, and machshavosov. As with our actions and with our speech and our thoughts, that's how we control the world. Holy actions have holy consequences, and lowly actions have lowly consequences, as he's going to explain. The kol tzidra nagoisav hein atoiv olehefach chas v'sholem, right, whether for the good or from the opposite chas v'sholem. Ki v'maisav v'dibura machshavosav hatoivim, when they're good deeds, humekayim anoisim koich bekama koichus v'ilomis, he is perpetuating numbers of forces and worlds, elyonim hakadoshim, upper holy worlds are perpetuated by man's good deeds. Umoisiv v'hem kdushav, or he adds sanctity and he adds light. New light, by the way, is a symbol for knowledge and excitement for life and the pleasure of life and appreciation of life. All of that is called light. Say someone is enlightened. We speak of someone being enlightened means he's on a high level of appreciating and enjoying and understanding life. So a person with his actions adds light. As a pasuk that says, I have placed my words in your mouth, that you may plant the heavens, and you may establish the earth. You, meaning the Jewish people. Like the verse says, Moses says, don't call the Jewish people Hashem's sons, rather call him Hashem's builders. We are Hashem's builders, because we build the world. We build the world. Ki hei mahamasadrim oylomis elyonim kaboinam sadeh binyon. Because we are, the Jewish people are those who arrange the upper worlds, because all the influence that comes to this world is from upper worlds. There's a life force, and it's like a chain. In other words, it's a chain of effects, where higher world is the neshama, which is the life force. We speak of the soul. The neshama is the life force of the body. So the higher world is the life force of the world below it, which itself is the life force of the world below it. So there's a sort of a chain reaction. Right? But a person has a soul. Right? We have a soul. Our soul has a soul. Because our soul gives life to our body. But what gives life to our soul? So our soul also has a soul. It's, so to speak, like if you can imagine the rings of an onion. Right? There's a world within a world within a world within a world. Right? Until we get to Hashem himself. Next paragraph. Through a person's actions, words, and thoughts, which are negative, he destroys a number of different forces. Upper holy worlds, without measure, right? It's immeasurable damage that he can do. Right, your destroyers and your demolishers come from you. The destroyers and demolishers of the world come from you, the Jewish people. He causes darkness to fall over the world. He shrinks the light and the holiness of the world. And he adds power to the forces of contamination. The world is, because the world is that there's free choice, because Hashem wants us to create and build our own lives, he's given us responsibility for our own lives, he's given us free choice that we can choose the type of life we lead. So therefore he's created two marachot systems. There are two systems for running the world, two governments that run the world. There's a government of kedusha, of holiness, and there's a government of tumah, of contamination. And they're right, the forces of evil and the forces of goodness. And the force of evil and the force of goodness oppose each other. And we give strength. We either join the one team or we join the other team, and we empower the team. The two teams, so to speak, there's almost like a battle between the two teams, and we can give strength to the one over the other. And that's where Hashem has created the world. The world is in balance, because the forces of evil, the forces of good are in balance with each other. And it's up to us to bring the goodness into the world, to give victory to the side of goodness and not chas v'sholom the opposite. When the good overpowers the bad, so then it destroys the bad, and we get closer to redemption. We get closer to the days of Mashiach. We get closer to the final.
You say at the moment there's a balance.
There's always a balance. In a sense, there's always a balance, because what happens is Reb Dessel explains how the battle between the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov is like a battle between two armies. And the battle between two armies is always at the front lines. In other words, at the front line, that's where the battle takes place. Now, if, let's say, the one army has a victory over the other army, so it pushes the other army back, so the front line moves, but the battle continues to be at the front line. In other words, the one army has conquered territory, and the other army has conquered territory. But the battle doesn't go on where there's conquered territory. The battle is at the front line. What you can do is you can shift the front line. But at the front line, the two forces are equal, right? As you push the one army back, so the army that's pushed back, so it's more in its own territory. So in a sense, it's stronger. You pushed it into its own territory, but in its own territory, it's more in familiar ground. It's more it's conquered, you know, it's ground that it's already conquered in the past.
Is that a contradiction?
What do you mean?
It's a contradiction. You're saying that the vanquished are getting more powerful.
No, they're not they're getting more powerful, but I'm just saying that there's a certain balance, because as they move into their own territory, they've got other resources, right? And in a sense, you can still continue to vanquish them, you can still continue to conquer them.
But you're saying they've got more resources in their own territory, so...
It could be when they're closer to their hometowns, so they fight more desperately, right? In other words, I'll give you an example, right? Let's say a person who's used to learning Torah 2 hours a day, and he says he wants to change his boundaries. He wants to now start learning Torah 3 hours a day. So that's a battle, right? Because he has already built into himself a certain type of lethargy, a certain type of laziness, a certain type of unwillingness to give up his free time. So therefore, when he wants to switch from 2 hours to 3 hours. It's difficult. It's a battle. If later on he wants to switch from 3 hours to 4 hours, the battle gets tougher. It doesn't get easier. Right? There's more opposition. As you try to do more, there's more opposition. In a sense, it doesn't become easier. It's not easier. It's easier to go from 2 to 3 than to go from 3 to 4, because you're mummish entering the territory of the other side, the Yetzirah. An analogy of a bodybuilder that as he gets stronger, they increase his weight. So that's also the Chazal said the same thing. Kol ha-godol mi-chevero. Anyone who's greater than his fellow, Yitzre Godel Himena. The greater the person, the greater is his Yetzer Hara. Because he's great, he can do more. So they give him the chance to do more. So they give him a more powerful enemy. But with a more powerful enemy, his accomplishments are greater accomplishments, greater profits, greater. He's in a different realm. Right? Before he used to be a junior clerk, now he's a senior manager. He gets more responsibility, it's more difficult the job, but he's accomplishing much more. He's bringing greater profits to the company. He's doing much more. He's much more important. So you do more as you grow, but the forces that battle you are also given the chance to equal your strength. Otherwise, it would just be otherwise, you just have to win the first battle, and then the rest of your life just falls down like dominoes. That's not how it works. The opposition continues. That's what we mean, that the worlds are in balance with each other.
It seems strange that a Rosh Hashanah would have such a Yetzirah. What kind of Yetzirah would he have?
So we wouldn't understand. We wouldn't understand his Yetzirah, but it could be small things, like instead of focusing in Shmoneh Esrei for 8 minutes without distracting his mind, he can do it for 9 minutes, whatever it is. It's different types of... Different types of victories. Different types of victories that... As things that are battles for us are simple for him. Right, a great person, things that we battle over, let's say a simple person battles to control his temper, or control feelings of jealousy when he sees someone else, so it could be a greater person that's not even a problem for him. He doesn't get angry, he doesn't get jealous. That's not even a problem. He's got other things that are more subtle gains, which are to do with higher worlds. That would be how it works. Fourth paragraph. It says Hashem created man in his image, B'tzelem Elohim, etc., in the image of Elohim, of Hashem. Ki B'tzelem Elohim also was in the image of Hashem, Hashem made. In the image of Hashem, Hashem made man. Shekmo shu yizbor shmoi, hu ha-Elohim, just like Hashem is Elohim, master of all forces. Balakoichus Kulam, master of all forces. Balakoichus Hanimtois Bichol Arilomus, which is all the forces right through all of the worlds. All of the worlds need to be empowered. They need to receive energy. They need to receive force. So therefore, just like he is the master of all forces right through all of the worlds, Masadra Manhigam Kol Regel Chitzon, and he arranges them and conducts them every moment because they need to be renewed every single moment. Can Hishlit Ratzon Yisborach Esodim? So too, Hashem has given power to a person. He's the opener, he's the one who opens and shuts numbers of millions of forces and worlds. Numbers of millions, right?
One person really makes such a really big difference.
One person makes a huge difference. And every second makes a huge difference. It's just there's so much going on, you don't always see it. Maybe in the long term, ultimately it'll come out.
But it's one second.
Because every moment you're making decisions, every moment your life is from moment to moment. That you are, all right, you're upbeat or you suddenly go down, you have your ups, you have your downs, you have your moments of when you commit yourself to a higher cause. Or moments when you slip, when you focused on just your material well-being. Mm-hmm. So it's just like our thoughts are constant. Mm-hmm. So therefore, we're constantly in charge of ourselves. But this, what we're in charge of ourselves, has an effect on upper worlds. Mm-hmm. Let's go with the text. You'll see it. He'll explain it to us. He'll explain all of this to us. You'll see how it works, and you'll see his sources for all of this. He'll give us all of these sources. Whether it's a Zohar. Where it's Chazal, where it's a verse from the prophets, etc. We'll see all of this. But this is it, that man himself affects the world with his every action, with his every thought. Al pi kol prate sidra nagrisa b'chol inyon b'chol eis rega mamish. According to all of the details of all of his conduct in all matters, at all moments, and every moment mamish, every second mamish. Kafi shosha elyon shel ma'asov, according to the roots. The upper roots of his actions, or so to speak, your action is linked to higher worlds, and therefore what you do down here affects what happens up there. So you can think of the analogy he uses later is of a chain. So if you, when you pull a chain, like a bell chain, right, you pull a bell chain down here, so it rings the bells up there. Right? That's the example. So the same thing, we are linked, our soul itself comes very high worlds. Comes from underneath the throne of glory. So therefore, when we, our actions here have an effect right at the top.
How do you control thoughts if you have moments? Is that
well, you try and you choose to focus. I mean, we have free choice. We have free choice. The Yetzirah is just a good salesman. He tries to persuade you to think about certain things, but if we choose to follow him, that's our choice. You can choose to focus on higher ideas, focus on a Torah idea, focus on a book that we're reading, or we can choose to think about more negative things. And it's our choice, it's always our choice. There's a person who can train himself, just like a person trains himself to be a sportsman, he gets stronger. We train ourselves to be of more focused thoughts, but we if you're conscious of it, it's easier. If you're conscious that it's an issue, then it's easier to try and control it. If you try to control it, you will control it. If you work on controlling it, if you say, I can't control it, I'm not going to try. So if you're not going to try, so then it's just going to go anyway, like a car. So I'm not going to hold the steering wheel. I'm just going to push the pedal on the gas, and wherever the car goes, that's fine. So you know what happens if you do that, right? You have to hold the steering wheel. You can't drive a car without holding the steering wheel. It's impossible. You know, the road twists all the time. So according to the upper root of all of his actions, speech, and thoughts, because all of our actions, speech, and thoughts are linked to the highest of worlds, if he is the master of that force. Now, since by pulling down here, it affects what goes on up here, so really we are in control of what goes up on up there. This is a midrash. Rabbi Akiva b'shem Riva Soimer. Right? This is a midrash. When Israel is doing the will of Hashem, when we're living the way Hashem wants us to live, which means doesn't mean being Superman. That means living as Hashem wants. We're eating as He wants us to eat. We're sleeping as He wants us to sleep. We interacting with our friends and neighbors as He wants us to interact with our friends and neighbors. Right? We're paying our bills like He wants us to pay our bills. Whatever it is, when Israel is doing the will of Hashem, Moisifim koyach bigvura shel malo, they add power to the force above, to Hashem's force. K'mod at omat, like the Pasuk says, and there's a Pasuk in Tehillim, Be'elokim naseh chayl. With Elohim, we will make strength. In other words, we give strength to Hashem. We give strength, so to speak, that He can be more effective. He can do more in this world. Because He holds Himself back until we draw down that force. We give Him strength to do in this world. And that's the verse, Be'elokim naseh chayl. Through Hashem, we do great things. We do great things through the power of Hashem. By acting as we should, so we draw down Hashem's help. His siyata d'shmaya, His heavenly help, He's drawn down on us. So we draw down this help that can do wonderful things. Hashem has the power, but we have the ability to draw down that help. B'zman she'ein Yisrael osim rotzoy nishul mochem, and when we do not fulfill the will of Hashem, kaviyochel matishin koyach gol shemal. So then we weaken Hashem's strength, so to speak. So to speak, according to the way Hashem said of the world, we weaken Him. We weaken His ability to help us.
Help us do what?
To help us bring the world closer to its perfection, to completion. So, for instance, let's say there's a boss in a company who wants to help a certain employee. He wants to help him. He wants whatever the employee wants. The employee wants to further his education. The employee wants to reach a higher position, whatever it is. And he comes to speak to the boss, and the boss is happy to help him. I'm happy to help you. But then he goes and insults the boss. So now he just weakened the boss's ability to help him. He insulted the boss, but the boss is now much more reluctant to help him. You know, why should I? This person's an ingrate. This person is chutzpahdik. Look how he speaks to me. What does he expect? I wanted to help him, but now I'm more reluctant to help him. So in other words, the worker, my acting in an incorrect way towards his boss, has now weakened his boss's power to help him. Not that the boss is weaker. The boss is the same boss. He didn't change. But now the boss is less willing to help him. Right? So the same thing. We have that relationship with Hashem. Hashem has given the world into hands, and we can, according to the way we conduct, we get greater help or we diminish that help. And that's also a verse. This is a verse we have in Chumash. Tichsiv tzu yelodcho, the rock who gave birth to you. The rock, referring to Hashem, is called the rock, because He's the source of the world. Tzu yelodcho, the rock who gave birth to you, teshi, is weakened. The source that gave birth to you is weakened. We weaken Hashem's ability to help us. Bekama makoyim is bezoyah kodesh, and this also appears in a number of places in the Zohar, the chayve banash, that the liabilities of people, as when people act incorrectly, and the sins that they commit, avdin pkimu le'elo, right? They make a blemish in upper worlds. Our sins blemish upper worlds. They spoil the upper forces. V'chein lehefach, or the opposite. It can enhance the upper worlds. It gives power to the upper worlds. And that's what the verse says, also a pasuk from Tehillim. Tnu ois elokim. Give power to Hashem. Tnu ois, give power. Elokim, give power to Hashem. Help Him to help you. Help Him to help you, because He wants to help you, but He can't unless you deserve it. So help Him to help you. He wants to help you. He wants to bring in great affluence and great prosperity and heavenly help, all sorts of inspiration. But help, he can't give it to you unless you deserve it. So help me to help. Right? Think of the father who wants to buy his son a brand new car. But his son keeps failing his driving test. So the father says, I'm not giving you a car. I'm not giving you a car. What, you're so mean. Why are you not giving me a car? I'm not giving you a car. You don't have your driver's license. Pass the test, I'll give you the car. So that's very logical. It's the same type of idea. So tnu is that it can give Hashem power to help us. V'zoi reish parasha. The Zohar brings as follows. It speaks on the pasuk in Eov, that in the beginning of the book of Eov is a story, the whole story of Eov. It speaks of how the angels all gathered around Hashem's throne, Hashem's holy throne, and there was a judgment that was passed, and amongst the things that they judged was Eov. What's going to happen to Eov? So the Zohar on those verses, it was on that day that the angels or the upper angels came to stand before Hashem. So the Zohar says as follows. Now in the text here, you've got the Zohar which appears in Aramaic, which is more difficult for us. We don't know Aramaic. Our Hebrew is not that great. Aramaic all the more so. But in this text, if you go down to the square brackets, so he's got it in Hebrew as well. So he first brings the Zohar and then he brings the Hebrew translation. So there by the square brackets it says, Kasharoitim Lamuid Lekatreg al Oisa Maisim Shal Yisrael. When the angels come to accuse the deeds of Israel, they come to accuse Israel for the, right? They come with criticism. Look what they're doing here, look what they're doing there, look what they're doing over there. So when the angels come, these are the accusing angels, prosecuting angels. They come before Hashem. So it says that the Zohar, the Al Hashem Vaday Oimdim, the Katrin. So they're really prosecuting against Hashem. Now, prosecuting Israel, the Jewish people, they're prosecuting Hashem. They are limiting Hashem's powers. They're saying, now you can't do this and you can't do that. They don't deserve it. And so it's a prosecution against the Jewish people. It is a prosecution against Hashem. That's what the Zohar says. Shekashe Yisrael Oisi Maisim Shelok Sherim. When the Jewish people do actions that are not kosher, not fitting, they, so to speak, weaken the power of Hashem. And when they do good deeds, good actions, they give power and strength to Hashem. And that's the same verse we mentioned before. Give power to Hashem. How do we give power to Hashem? With good deeds. So that's the idea we said before, and that's also the Zohar says that idea exactly. And therefore the pasuk says, "Tnu oiz lelokim to Hashem." V'chein belokim naaseh chayil, but with Hashem we are valiant. We do great deeds because with Hashem's help we can do great things when we please Him. But every time it uses the name Elokim, both of these verses use the name Elokim, which means He's the master of all forces. Okay, chapter 4. Zois Teres HaOdom. This is the law concerning a person called Ish Yisrael. Any Jewish person. Al Yoima Beliba Chas V'Sholem Ki Ma Ani Akrichi Lifol B'Maisa Shvelim Shom Inyan Boilom. No person should ever say Chas V'Sholem that who am I and what strength have I got to do with my small actions, my petty actions, my minor actions. How could I have any effect on the world? So it is chas v'sholem, a person should ever say such a thing. That who am I? What can I do to make a change in the world? It's not so. Amnam yovin v'yedu v'yigve machshavuis libri. Rather, he should understand and know and fix it in his mind. He has to fix it in his mind. We have to be conscious of this. Shekol prate maisa v'diburo v'machshavuisov. That every detail of his actions, his speech, and his thoughts, the way he speaks, what he thinks, call eis v'rega, every moment, nothing is lost, everything has an effect. Not a single detail of any action, word, or speech, or thought is ever lost. And therefore, how great are his actions? If every thought, every second of every thought has an effect, so see how powerful a person is, because it's all having an effect on the highest of worlds. Shukol achas, oilo kafi shosha, each detail of each moment goes up according to its root, as we mentioned before, goes right up to the highest of worlds. Lifol pulosa begave moromim to have its effect on the highest of worlds. Bulomus vitzachtachos ois elyonim, which is upper world and upper lights. And it can polish those lights, it can actually release those lights, that those lights come down much stronger into our world. And in truth, a person who is wise, a person who is insightful and understands this in truth, if we could understand the effect of our actions and our speech and our thoughts, if we could, a person who is able to appreciate it. So he says, Libo Yochil Bekirboy, his heart will start trembling in its midst. You just realize the responsibility you have. A person who is responsible for thousands of worlds, millions of worlds. So if you're just conscious of the effect of the smallest action, right? This morning you just move your finger, it has some sort of an effect. So if you're conscious of that, you don't act like someone, like a, you know, someone just a drunk person who stumbles here and stumbles there and he doesn't know what he's doing. But if a person's conscious of that, so his heart will start trembling, chil rado, with a trembling, with a tremble and a shaking. Besuma liba al maisav asheloi teivim chas v'sholem. When he puts it in mind that his actions, which are negative, chas v'sholem, ad heichan heilam megim lekalkel laharis, how far they reach to spoil and to destroy, v'chet kal chas v'sholem, even the smallest sin has an effect. Har beyoisim mashiachiv Nebuchadnezzar v'titus. And the damage he does is much more the damage of than Nebuchadnezzar ever did, or Titus. Who was Nebuchadnezzar? That was the Babylonian king who destroyed the first temple. Who was Titus? That's the Roman king who destroyed the second temple. And the actions of these two are much, much smaller than the smallest action of a Yid, of a Jew. And he's going to explain it in a minute. What's he talking about? Ki haloi Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, Titus, they also be my same shum gam bekilkul bechlal lamala. Nebuchadnezzar and Titus, they are lower beings. They are lower beings, and therefore, they, with their actions, they didn't affect the heavens at all. Their actions were in this world, but they are sort of material people, physical people. They don't believe in upper worlds. They don't subscribe to upper worlds. They're not connected to upper worlds. They are purely materialistic people. Not physical, materialistic people. So there, they did tremendous damage. Tremendous damage. They destroyed, it wasn't just the temple, the whole of Yerushalayim was destroyed. Poverty and exile and terrible suffering to the Jewish people. Nevertheless, their damage, their rottenness and their destruction did not affect the heavens. It doesn't reach the heavens. Ki lo lehem chelik, v'sheish b'ilom esilion. They have no share or root in the upper worlds. They've got no section. They've got no portion in the upper worlds. It's got nothing to do with them. They can't touch the higher worlds. They operate in this world. They can't touch the higher worlds. Rather, through our sins that were diminished and weakened, the holy forces from above. Esmikdash Hashem timu kaviyochol. Hamikdash Elyon, the Jewish people, with their actions, contaminated the upper base of Mikdash. We know the upper base of Mikdash in the heavens parallels the lower base of Mikdash in this world. Now the base of Mikdash itself has its neshama in the upper base of Mikdash, which is the soul, which is the base of Mikdash in the upper world. So therefore, the Jewish people, with their sins, they contaminated the upper base of Mikdash. And that empowered Nebuchadnezzar and Titus to destroy the Beis HaMikdash down here. Their ability to destroy the Beis HaMikdash here is only because we already destroyed it at its root. In other words, basically the Beis HaMikdash cannot be conquered. It's if it's in its full health. But once it's already sickly, so then it's nothing to conquer. So therefore we stripped the Beis HaMikdash down below of its life force. It became like an empty shell. Right? We know the difference between an egg, a healthy egg, or an egg where you've drained the egg out of the shell. The shell is just an empty shell. You just touch it and the whole thing crumbles. There's nothing inside there. So that's basically what happened. The Jewish people drained the Beis HaMikdash of its life force, and therefore these Rishonim could just walk in and the whole thing just collapsed before them. Kamoshi Omru Azal, as the Chazal say, the sages say in the Midrash, Kibcha Tchina Techinos. It was ground flour that you ground. Nebuchadnezzar started boasting, I destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And he felt very proud. So the Chazal turned around and said to him, you ground flour. Now, no one grounds flour. You don't grind flour, you grind wheat. You turn wheat into flour. They said to Chazal, Chazal said to Nebuchadnezzar, no, it was flour that you ground. It was already ground. Who ground it? The Jewish people ground. We already destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And all it was just an empty shell. And therefore, we just walked in, the whole thing collapsed. And the Chazal, he doesn't mean the whole Chazal here, but they went on. They said, a dead lion you killed. You know, this great hunter comes. He says, oh, I shot that lion. So they tell him, no, listen, someone shot it already. It's been dead the last 3 days, right? He says, you know, I shot the lion. Here's the bullet. Here's my gun. There's the lion. I say, no, but there are two bullets there, right? It's rotting already, that line. It's a rotten line. You didn't just shoot it because it's been dead already. And the other analogy they use is a burnt city you set on fire. Right? I set the Beis HaMikdash on fire and it was already burnt. It had already been destroyed, totally destroyed. It was our sins that destroyed Hashem's house. Lomis Elyonim Akadoshim, upper highly holy worlds, they only were able to destroy the building down below. And this is what David HaMelech davened, Pasuk in Tehillim, Yivada Kamevi Lamala Besvach Eitz Kadumis. But let it be known above in the upper worlds that as if they had destroyed. David HaMelech wanted Nebuchadnezzar to be punished. This is in prophecy because he never saw the destruction of the first temple. Well, he was before the building of the first temple, even. Right? But in the Pasuk in Tehillim, so the way the Reb Chaim explains it, David had wanted to be that those destroyers of the temple should be considered by the heavens as if they had destroyed it at its roots. However, it didn't touch there at all, as we explained already. Let's just do one more passage. And for this also, a heart of one of the Jewish people should tremble. He includes within his own psyche, his own will, his own personality, all of the upworlds, all of the powers of the upper worlds. We're still going to explain this in later chapters. We are, the Jewish people in themselves, are the Kodesh and the Beis HaMikdash. We'll see a bit later that the heart of a person is exactly the parallel of the Beis HaMikdash. We, each one of us, has within himself a Beis HaMikdash, which is his heart. And the heart, what is the heart? The heart is the rotzen. The true desire of the person is what we call the heart. And that is his Beis HaMikdash. And with that, what he wants to do with his life, what he wants to do with his actions and speech, etc., that is the Beis. That is a mini Beis HaMikdash within each and every Jew. The heart of the person is considered the middle of the body, of the spiritual body. We're not talking about the physical body. And it includes everything, because the heart has the desires as everything. Your whole life is it within your heart. The whole life is in your desire. And that is the exact parallel to the Kodesh Kodosh in the Beis HaMikdash. Kodesh Kodosh was the holiest place of the Beis HaMikdash, and the heart is the parallel, the exact parallel of the Beis HaMikdash. Evan Shasiyah, the founding stone. Koilel called Shoshe Mekorah Kedushos, and it is the source of all holiness. Ramzu Chazal Mishnah Peg to the Shachi Chavnes Liver Kenegit Beis Kodesh Kodosh. And that's the idea. When we daven, it says we should direct our hearts to the Beis HaMikdash. When we daven, we face Yerushalayim. If you're in Yerushalayim, you face the Beis HaMikdash. If you're in the Beis HaMikdash, you face the Holy of Holies. Because our hearts are the exact parallel of the Holy of Holies. And that's the idea that we should realize that all of the goodness that comes into the world is all dependent on our intentions and our desires and our wants and wishes.